From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and we're here every week talking about various mental health issues from a holistic perspective. And we all know that the truth will set you free, but the question that we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? Throughout the years, people are always talking to me about how to find a good therapist. And finding a therapist is one thing. Finding a good therapist is another. Finding a therapist that you're going to connect with and have a healthy, productive relationship with is a whole other thing. And basically, that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about how to find and choose the right therapist for you. And in a few minutes, I'll be introducing a guest named Judy Gifford, who actually has taken this on in terms of helping people find the right therapist using our modern technology, the internet. But before I introduce Judy and get into our conversation today, I want to remind all of you that this is a live show. It's a call-in show. If you have any questions about today's topic or anything else dealing with mental health issues you might be dealing with, the number in Phoenix is 480 area code 949-1310. That's 949-1310. And if you're listening via the internet, as I know I do have listeners out there in other cities, again, the same number is a toll number for you is 480-949-1310. So a lot of people, I have a private practice in the Hollywood area in Los Angeles, and I don't necessarily advertise the way I know some of my colleagues do and people and therapists all over do. And I choose not to be on any HMO or PP or provider lists only because, partly because of my ADD and all the paperwork involved in it. It's just something that I just chose not to add my own frustrations to that process. And partly because I've been in practice nearly 30 years, and I have what I think is a good reputation. And the reality of it is most of the referrals that I get come from word of mouth, come from client referrals. And sometimes it's a client I haven't seen in years, and all of a sudden I get a call saying so-and-so referred me. And to me, that speaks volumes. Even somebody that years later is still keeping me in mind and referring clients to me. Or a current client that I may be seeing who is having a positive experience and is speaking to a friend or colleague somewhere and says, I'm seeing this therapist, maybe you want to give him a call. To me, that's the most powerful way to do it. And it takes some of the credibility issues and put them in perspective, because somebody that you may respect is already saying that this is a person that's been helping me, and I suggest if you're looking for a therapist that you might give him a try also. So to me, the word of mouth issue adds a component of credibility when you're getting a referral. But what if you don't have a friend that's in therapy, although most of us do these days, or that you're just not wanting to talk to friends about it, you feel a little shy about opening up to certain people, or you're not the type of person that feels comfortable yet with the concept of therapy, how do you find a therapist? Or if you have an HMO or a PPO and your finances are such where you have to go with a given list, how do you determine which therapist to pick off of a list of names that you have no idea who any of these people are? It may be more of a geographic thing or a price range thing, but you're given a list of total strangers. You have no idea how to assess their capability, your compatibility, and whether or not you're going to be a good match for them. I've actually gotten a couple of calls over the years from people who called me directly out of the Yellow Pages. Luckily, my last name starts with an A, so occasionally I get a call from someone who says, I found your name in the Yellow Pages. Can you tell me about yourself, or I need some help? So the other way very often people may find, and it's one of the things that I don't do, is advertising. There are certain magazines and periodicals where you'll see either classified ads or block ads where someone may have their picture and some of the issues they deal with and how to reach them, and you may see them. To me, the way to use advertising like that is repetition over time, just like behavior change, where if you're seeing that same ad over and over and over again for the course of a year or two, that name may pop up in your head when you're finally thinking you need some therapy. So, but all of those ways are kind of iffy, a little bit risky, and you don't really know who it is you're calling. And that's basically what we're going to be talking about today, is when you need a therapist, how to find them, where to go to look for them, how to choose them, even if it's going off a provider list, what's your responsibility in this in terms of what kind of questions to ask, what are you looking for? And most people will call me the first time and say, I don't really know what to ask you. And so some of the things I give them up front is, number one, I talk to them about confidentiality to ease their mind. I talk to them about my own background in history in terms of being a therapist, where I got my training, the difference between my license and the license of some of the others, which I'll be talking to my guests about tonight, all these sort of things. It's important that, number one, when you're looking for a therapist, to realize you shop around. You have a right to say, this doesn't work for me, or I'm not feeling comfortable, or to say to someone over the phone, I'm going to be calling about three or four people. I just need to ask you a few questions. And most therapists should be okay with that. In other words, you're interviewing them, just like you're hiring someone, because in essence, you are hiring someone to help you with your life's issues. You have a right to interview them. And usually that's done over the phone before you set up your first appointment. Some therapists will allow you to actually come in for a consultation, and they don't charge you for the first one. That's one way some of them do it. And you have the right to ask questions about how they work, what their areas of expertise are, and to get a feel for who they are. If they're not willing to answer those questions, they're not someone you want to go see. So with all that in mind, and hopefully we've stimulated some questions or maybe even challenged a few of you out there, I want to introduce my guest. Her name is Judy Gifford. And Judy has taken technology of the Internet and has done something that I was actually very impressed with, and I don't even remember where I read the article, but there was an article about this website called Find the Therapist. And I cut it out, and I tracked her down in the Phoenix area, and I got in touch with her, and she's a guest today on the show. Judy, are you there?
Yes, I am, Stuart.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, good. Give us a little bit more about your own background, and then I want to find out more about how you came about starting Find a Therapist.
Okay.
You've been a therapist yourself, correct?
Yes, I have, for over 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and worked primarily with children in residential treatment centers, and because I worked with children, I also worked with parents, and did that for about 15 years, and then started my own private practice, and was in private practice for about 10 years. In the Phoenix area, mm-hmm. And then my business really took over, and didn't have time to do the individual therapy work anymore.
And at what point did this idea for Find a Therapist come about, and why did you start it?
Well, I have two versions. I have a longer version and a shorter version. And I'll start with the longer version, and if it gets boring, you can just interrupt me.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I had a friend who actually worked for Hewlett-Packard and knew all about computers, and this was in 1995, and I became fascinated with the idea of computers and the internet, but didn't know a thing about them and was really computer phobic at that time. But I also didn't want to be left behind. I realized that computers and the internet were really the wave of the future. So I was doing a workshop, and I had my friend put a flyer for the workshop up on one of his free websites. That was at a time when a lot of companies were offering free websites, and he did. And I thought, you know, anybody in the world can find me now because I'm on the internet. And I have all these people come to my workshop. Well, I was very naive, and it didn't happen. I didn't get any world visitors at the workshop. But I just was amazed at that idea and decided that I should put up a website. And so my friend told me how to do it and helped me out. And I thought, I'm going to tell my therapist friends that they can list their practice on my website, put information about themselves, because I still really thought that anyone in the world was going to, or everyone in the world was going to find us. So I had about 15 friends that did that. And I said, well, tell all of your friends. And so really by word of mouth it spread, and within 6 months we had 2,000 therapists from all over the country listed on the website.
Wow.
And they told their friends, and they told their friends, and it was when we had about 2,500 people that I was doing all of this just because it was fun and I was really playing. And I thought, I don't have the time to do this anymore, and it's really costing me money to do this, so I thought I would charge people to put their information on the site, and really started charging them $12.95 per year to have their information listed,
mm-hmm.
which was really quite a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And because...
Talking about $12.95?
Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
That's pretty good advertising. And because I think we were probably maybe the first or second directory on the internet, I didn't see any others at all. There may have been more, but I never found them. We got really good rankings in all of the search engines, and I didn't understand search engine ranking or any of that internet stuff at that time, but we really got a lot of traffic. We've had over, on our original site, we've had over 2 million visitors, which is pretty amazing. That 2 million people in the world have found my private practice website because that's where the original directory started.
Wow.
And
the original directory was called?
Findingstone.com.
Findingstone.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no longer?
It's still there.
Okay.
It's still there because it gets such good traffic that we've kept it up. Tried to take it down a couple of times, and therapists have said, no. We've left it there.
When did it transition to find a therapist?
That was about 1997. We just were getting so much traffic and really wanted to separate the concept between my private practice and the Find a Therapist directory. So we got the domain name www.find-a-therapist.com, and you have to put the dashes in. And that's our current website and directory. And in our directories all together, we have over 10,000 therapists listed. And therapists, in order to be listed with us, have to be licensed, and so that's an important benefit for consumers, to for sure that everyone on our directory is licensed. We'll get into some of those questions later, I think, but
right.
That's just an important thing for people to know. That directory has been online in one form or another since 1997, so we're probably one of the oldest directories on the internet. I think there may be one older than we are. We're probably one of the biggest. There are other directories who list basic name, address, and phone number information, but not as much complete information as we have. And obviously I'm prejudiced in my creation here, but it was really birthed out of a long process, so it's my baby, and I'm quite partial to it.
To be honest with you, when I actually saw the article, I went and looked up the site, and one of the reasons I called you to be on the show, because I was impressed with it also.
Well, thank you.
So it is a very thorough site, and it's not just about finding the professionals. You give a lot of good information about therapy itself and the different modes.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of treatment centers as well as individual professionals.
Exactly.
So I found it very impressed, which is why you're on the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You're very kind. I thought it was important to give consumers a lot of good information so that they could make intelligent choices about the kind of therapist that they wanted to select.
Mm-hmm.
And I really created the content based on my experience as a therapist, I think, which is an advantage because these are, hopefully the information answers questions that people have asked me, clients
mm-hmm.
have asked me when they were in therapy. And we continually update the site with new information. Much of our information comes from respected sources like the National Institute of Mental Health. We also have therapists who write articles for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the articles are all reviewed by our editorial committee to make sure that the information that the therapist is sharing in their article is really solid and not flaky. We do get some flaky submissions, but we don't publish those kinds of articles.
Okay.
And it's very important to me as, again, the director of Find a Therapist to help people and really educate, or let consumers educate themselves, basically, about mental health issues. We also have a forum section, message board section, that's monitored by some of our online therapists, and their clients or visitors to the site can ask questions. They can read postings from other people. Our therapists, who are all licensed and screened by us, will respond to their questions in general ways, not very specific, because that gets into, am I in actual therapy with this person, and we have to be careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
But they will respond in general ways, and then we have a lot of visitors to the site who share their experiences and share with each other and offer support to each other, and it's become quite a community that we have.
Right. Let me ask you a few questions. So you talked about screening,
mm-hmm.
and you talked about having like 2,000 therapists on there. What kind of screening do you do when someone's says, I want to send you a check and I want to get listed, how do you go about the screening?
We have two different groups of therapists. We have our therapists who are listed in our basic directory that we compare to a Yellow Pages directory, and then we offer online therapy. The therapists who are listed in our Yellow Pages type directory have to be licensed, and we don't screen them beyond that, just require that they're licensed, and we do check to make sure that they're licensed.
Okay, so you do verify with whatever state they're in
mm-hmm.
that they're actually licensed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do
you have a disclaimer up here saying that you're not recommending these clients, these therapists, they're just here listed and that the person should take it upon themselves to ask the right question?
Yes, we do. That's in our sort of legalese kind of section.
Right.
And
I
don't know how many people actually read that, but
right.
But it is there.
But that's what I was saying early on during my introduction. I think it's the client's responsibility, no matter who's referring them to whom, to know that this is their life, that
mm-hmm.
they're investing money and time and
mm-hmm.
and taking risks of vulnerability and all the things that go with being in therapy. It's their responsibility to ask the right questions.
I couldn't agree with you more. And we have on the website several articles, how to choose a therapist, about therapy, what is therapy all about, a lot of information, helping consumers understand exactly what you said, Stuart, that this is really their responsibility. It's their life. It's their money.
Mm-hmm.
I liked what you said in your introduction about they're really hiring this professional.
Right.
Just like you wouldn't hire anyone to work on your car
mm-hmm.
or come into your house and fix your house. You'd check these people out.
Right.
It's even more important to really apply that concept to someone who's going to be working with you and someone that you can really trust and feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a philosophy that I say all the time, and to me the whole purpose of therapy is to get out of therapy.
Absolutely.
I've known people who've spent 30 years of their lives on that. Nothing against analysis or anything like
mm-hmm.
that, because I know it's done some tremendous things. But for some people, it just becomes part of their daily or weekly routine to
mm-hmm.
go to 2 or 3 sessions a week. But there are some people who just never get the point that, you know what, I don't think I really need to keep coming anymore. Mm-hmm. And if you're not getting to that point after a certain length of time, you need to assess the goals that you're setting and where the therapist is. I've actually said to some clients, you know, I think maybe it's time you took a break from this. I think mm-hmm. you've achieved what you came here for, and I think the sessions are just kind of becoming routine reporting in type of things instead of deep work, because I think there's a different level of balance going on. And sometimes I get a response from a client like, what? You know, and to deal with the shift in the relationship and the letting go. But to me, it's important that a therapist is aware that, like, I know that I'm not the right person to work with every client that mm-hmm. calls me.
Mm-hmm.
And to know my own limitations and my own strengths helps me assess and helps me draw out of the client whether we're going to be a right fit or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. I think it's extremely important to find a good match. One of the things that I tell people and is on the website is that it's important, first of all, to interview a therapist and feel perfectly okay doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are very shy about doing that, and they don't know what to ask, or they feel very uncomfortable. They feel it's a presumption on their part to interview a professional.
Right.
Well, it's not at all, and most, a good therapist will really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
That says to the therapist that this client is number one committed, they're serious about this, and it's an example of their self-esteem, if you can say, I'm important enough that I'm not going to let anyone mess with my insides. You're going to have to make sure you're really worth it before I, number one, give you my money and give you my trust. And it's important that you don't go into a session with a therapist trusting them immediately. Trust has to be earned, and it's earned over time. And I think that's another thing that people go into therapy thinking is that I have to just bare my soul immediately, and I'm scared to do that, and that keeps some people away from therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. Again, trust is earned over time, and a good therapist lets you work on your own schedule.
Right.
They will let you know if they think you're avoiding certain issues or stalling or not really working hard, but it's your life, and you have a right to move through your journey at whatever speed you choose.
Right.
And good therapists will respect that.
Yeah, and I know that if there are therapists out there listening, I know that for me early on, that was something I had to learn the hard way,
mm-hmm.
is that the client's there to work at their pace, not at mine.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, sometimes, you know, you said something that I think was very important. In fact, it's even in your list of you know, what therapy is about, and you state in one of them, your therapist is not perfect and will make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he or she will acknowledge and take responsibility for those mistakes, and I believe that issue is therapists are human too.
Absolutely.
And it's important for a therapist not to let their ego get in the way of what's going on, and it's important for the client to allow occasionally for a flub, so long as it's not, you know, really dealing with confidentiality issues or things like that, you know, sometimes, you know, a therapist is human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, a therapist is always human, but sometimes that humanity shows up.
That's true. When a client first calls, or when people are making that first call to the therapist, I think that can be the most difficult step for some people, because it really goes from I'm thinking about this to I'm actually taking a step, and for some people that's the hardest part. And it's important to, when you do that, have a list of questions prepared in advance to ask that therapist. Number one, if you call and you get a therapist's answering machine or secretary or whatever and can't speak with them directly, they should be able to get back to you within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, I would scratch them off my list, because
right.
I think that's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's personally me, but I always try to.
No, I agree with you.
It's you know, if someone is really putting that much confidence in me that they're willing to take that first step, I better get back to them as quickly as I can. And it's not always possible for a therapist. Obviously, people have their own lives, too, but I think most people could certainly do that. And if they're too busy to get back to you within that time, you're probably not going to be able to get in to see them for a while, so you might go on to the next one on your list anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And So once they get back to you, again, it's important to have that list of questions that you want to ask. And if you don't know what to ask, you can go to a website. You can search anywhere on the Internet and find lots of good information. Obviously, people could come to findatherapist.com and have a lot of, we offer a list of questions that people can ask their therapist. It's good to ask about, number one, the training. And that may not mean anything when you hear that information as a consumer because, you know, unless you're familiar with the mental health world and different types of degrees and so forth, it may not mean anything. But the therapist should be able to tell you as they explain to you what their experience is.
Yeah.
And it's also important to ask them, how many clients have you seen with problems like mine? And so you would want to give them a little bit of information about what your issues are. If they say, well, I've maybe one or two people, I would probably not want to see that person. I want to see someone who has some significant experience working with issues like mine.
And that's one of the things I suggest to people a lot, and usually if it's the first client coming in, you know, one of the questions I'll ask them is, what's the most difficult thing you have to tell me right now?
Mm-hmm.
To try and get them, I mean, the name of the show is Tell the Truth Faster, and mm-hmm. it's a philosophy I also try and teach even from the first session. And for some people, you know, like, you know, maybe it's a gay or lesbian client or a bisexual client. You want to put that out right away because you want to know whether this is a therapist that is comfortable with dealing with that issue or not. And
mm-hmm.
if they're not, and they're kind of squirming in the chair once you say it or, you know, stuttering, you know, that's not where you want to be because it's not going to be helpful.
Absolutely.
Now, we're going to take a short break here. This is Stuart Altschul, and we're talking today with Judy Gifford in how to find and choose the right therapist for you, for yourself. And we're on KXAM. We're going to take a short break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM. This is Stuart Altschuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and today we're talking about how to find and choose the right therapist for yourself. And my guest today is the founder of an internet site called www.find-a-therapist.com, findatherapist.com. And her name is Judy Gifford. And Judy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Stuart.
And we were talking earlier about how to interview a therapist, how to find the right therapist, what questions to ask. And there are two things I want to get into from here is what the therapy is actually going to be about and what if once you get started it's not feeling like it's the right therapist for you or things aren't going the way you need them to go. So, you know, I also have a belief that this is one of the few professions where I get paid for someone else to do the work. And that's, you know, when I say that to a client, they usually laugh, but they get the point because
mm-hmm.
if they're not willing to really make a commitment to this work, if they're not willing to understand that this is going to be painful, this is going to be uncomfortable, if it wasn't, they probably didn't need to be in therapists to begin with. What do you want to say to the listeners out there in terms of what to expect once they get started in therapy?
Well, I think if I could just backtrack a little bit,
mm-hmm.
We were talking about interviewing a therapist. It's perfectly acceptable and encouraged to interview more than one. Interview three or four, and then based on your interview, make a decision. Most therapists will also offer a free initial consultation, even if that's a half-hour visit to their office. It's fine to ask for that if they don't offer it. And if they don't offer it, you may, again, want to go down your list. I think that's important. Therapists who are established in a practice, who have some good, solid experience behind them, generally do that and feel okay with it. Well, not all do. But it's fine to ask.
Actually, I'm not one that does, but
uh-huh.
I will take the time with someone if they're calling me over the phone. But once they set up the appointment, I'm one of those therapists that feels I should be getting paid for my time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know, I have a lot of colleagues that do it that way,
mm-hmm.
and I have had potential clients call and ask me about that. And I do believe it's appropriate for those that want to do it, and people are usually surprised with me about how much time I'll give them over the phone
mm-hmm.
when they're asking this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Once
you have established or begun therapy with a therapist and it just somehow doesn't feel right to you, and I tell people again and again, it's important to trust your instincts. I really believe we all deep in our hearts or deep in our guts somewhere know. We know what we need to do in therapy. We know what we need to talk about. And we also know if this feels okay for us. And if we feel like we're really not connecting with the therapist, if it's not going well, it's so important to say that to the therapist, to let them know. Maybe they can work with you and things will get better and you can move past that and find that they're really a good person to work with. Maybe not. And if not, it's perfectly okay to say to that therapist, you know what, I don't feel like I'm moving in the direction I want to or my issues are getting resolved, or say nothing at all and just let them know, I don't want to come back. You don't need to explain. You don't feel like you need to. I think most therapists would really want to know that.
Yeah, I know. I would like some feedback
mm-hmm.
if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. But it's the client's right. They can do that or they cannot do that.
Right.
They don't
no,
have
no,
to
I
feel pressured to do that.
Sure.
But
one of the problems I think a lot of clients will find is one of the main issues a lot of people get into therapy is communication problems and self-esteem problems and confidence and assertiveness problems. And so a lot of clients will do what they do in relationships or when they're dating someone, and that they just stop calling back, or
mm-hmm.
they start not showing up, or you know, they don't call for another date type of thing, even though they said that they would type of thing. So very often their behavior reflects how their behavior usually is outside the therapeutic experience.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to take a look at that also.
Mm-hmm.
And do what you're saying. It's, in other words, even if it's safer for them to write it all down.
Absolutely.
Put it in a letter because they're not confident enough for the confrontation,
mm-hmm.
verbally doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I really agree with you. The
mm-hmm.
therapist needs to hear it, and it may be feedback they need that maybe they're doing the same thing with other clients, or it may clear some things up where they can continue to work with that therapist.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And with with most therapists, when they're doing ongoing work with clients, they will periodically check in, or they should periodically check in, and a good therapist will, for a joint evaluation. How is this working for you? How do you think we're doing? Are we reaching the goals that you're interested in? And to take stock of where the therapy is moving. With my clients, I would tell them up front, I'm going to check in with you every 6 weeks. And see how you're feeling about how things are going, if it's moving in the direction you're wanting, if there's another direction you think you want to look at, you know, if I'm missing something, is there anything I'm missing? And it's, again, acceptable for therapists to do that, and it's certainly encouraged for clients to give therapists that feedback. That's how therapists really grow, is through the people that are willing to share their journey with them. And in essence, each new client taught me something.
I say the same thing, and it's been my experience too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, we're both teachers, we're both students, and I never fail to learn something from the clients.
Mm-hmm.
With.
That was one of the things that was always most remarkable, is that someone would be willing to share their journey with me and how much I learned from that process and how much I was enriched by that process. It's a privilege for a therapist, I guess.
Yes, definitely. And something else I learned very early on, you know, like 20 years ago when I was living in Florida, I realized I was working with this client and we were really blocked on something, and I couldn't get my finger on it until I was at a workshop dealing with some of my own issues,
mm-hmm.
and this light bulb went on,
mm-hmm.
and I realized that I was stuck with this client because the issue that was just below the surface was one of
mm-hmm.
my own.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't ready to look at it myself, and that's
mm-hmm.
part of the humanity of us. And, you know, I said, I told the client honestly, I said, I had this light bulb go off over the weekend
mm-hmm.
at a workshop I went to, and I want to share it with you because I think it's relevant to the work we're doing
mm-hmm.
together also.
And I think
all of a sudden their work started just you know, moving again.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so respectful to do with a client. Mm-hmm. And what it always did for me when I would do something similar is it would free the client because they're able then to trust a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can see this person is human and they're willing to share some of their journey with me also. And it makes it safer for the client.
And for therapists out there listening, I think it's important that we all know that if we're blocked with a client, one of the first questions I now know to ask is, you know, what am I struggling with right now that may be interfering with my work with this client?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and to really own my own stuff in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So we also talked about, you know, this is what to expect in therapy. You also said if it's not working, it's not working. We said that you're interviewing therapists, you're hiring, like I said at the beginning, you know, you're hiring this person, you know, which means you can fire them also if
mm-hmm.
it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that the listeners realize that.
Mm-hmm. And some clients I think that I've worked with would feel just, oh, I can't fire you. And they would feel too bad about doing that. So I would let them know they could just decide to end therapy with me. And they don't have to fire me necessarily, but they could just end with me.
Right.
And that's perfectly fine.
But there are healthy ways of completing relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's one of the main reasons people are in therapy
mm-hmm.
to begin with,
mm-hmm.
because of relationship issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this therapeutic relationship between the client and the therapist becomes, in a sense, a microcosm of what's going on in their lives and how they handle relationships outside the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to the therapist to create a safe enough space for people to start trying on new behaviors and beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And on the other side, it's important for the client to be willing to take risks. It's, as you said, therapy can sometimes be painful. It's certainly growth-producing. And when you get to look back on where you've come, it's a very enriching process. It's not necessarily fun to go through at the time.
Right.
It's one of those things that when you look back, you can really recognize how important it was to take risks. And you take small risks in the beginning until you really trust that therapist is going to be there for you and offer you the kind of support that you need and encouragement that you need and recognize your successes. And a good therapist will do that, will recognize successes.
Right.
And build on strengths. I think most people think therapy is all about exposing my faults, everything that's wrong with me.
Uh-huh.
And most, you know, good therapist, again, is going to say, what's working in your life? What are your strengths? What can we build on? And everybody has strengths. I have never met in all of my years a client that didn't have some strengths that we could build on.
Totally agree.
And it's so important for a therapist to recognize that and celebrate when things are going well for you. And point out to people how, when they're doing things well, what they are doing well and why it's working for them.
And to encourage the clients to start celebrating
mm-hmm.
the achievements and things like that. I mean, I've had clients that, you know, their sobriety birthdays, they
mm-hmm.
weren't making a big deal out of it. And I encourage them to throw a party,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
invite people, or whether it's a natal birthday, you know, they're turning 40 or whatever. I used to throw all my own birthday parties. For years and years I did it. If I wasn't going to celebrate my life, why
mm-hmm.
should I expect anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I like that. When I was working with clients, I would one of the ways that I worked was to assign homework during the week because that's where the work really happened for people. An hour of it happened in my office, but the rest was when you leave the office, you still got work to do. And oftentimes the therapy the homework I would assign people was you need to celebrate your successes thus far.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to come back and report on how you've celebrated and make sure it's a good celebration. So I think so many of us forget to do that,
mm-hmm.
to really recognize and
congratulate. I have actually done a couple of whole shows on just that one issue.
Is that right?
Yeah, if you go to my archives, you can actually hear. And
sure
I did it around my own 50th birthday and my mom's 80th birthday. Now, I want to switch gears here a minute. We're talking about therapy, but we're also talking about the 21st century. And I got my start in college by actually doing telephone crisis intervention work on a peer hotline on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know that one of the things you offer on your site is actually e-therapy.
Mm-hmm.
What is e-therapy and how does it work and what are the benefits of it?
Okay. Well, e-therapy is a term that was coined several years ago, three or four years ago, I guess, by John Grohol, who is has a huge internet site and has been a pioneer in the mental health online field. And e-therapy is like e-mail or e-anything. It's therapy online. We have about 40 therapists that we have credentialed to work online, and that means that you can go to our site and select a therapist from their profile to consult with them by email sessions, by instant messaging, private instant chat with a therapist online, or by phone. And we don't work with people anonymously, which means that we do ask clients to give the kind of information you would give if you were in a therapist's office. People have to fill out what we call a pre-session form, and it's really the basic information, again, that you would fill out if you were.
Like an intake form.
An intake form, exactly. And then they set an appointment with a therapist if it's for online chat or phone or email. If they choose email, the therapist will get back with them, respond to their email within 48 hours. Most of the time it's before that, but our time frame is 48 hours. And it was started because, again, with my private practice site and Find a Therapist site, we got so many questions by email from people, basic mental health information questions, questions about how do I deal with my daughter on this. And when I had my private practice site, I would respond to some of those with, again, just sort of basic information. People were so grateful in it. They seemed it was such a helpful resource to them that I thought, well, why not do this sort of officially?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked with a friend of mine that I had worked with for many years who was a clinical director at an agency that I had worked with, and asked him if he would be the clinical director and if he would join me in this venture. His name is Don Moretsky, and he agreed, and so now he interviews all of the therapists. We thoroughly check the background, we ask for professional references that we check out, and then interview the therapist personally. And our goal was not to build the biggest network of therapists we could, but really find the very best therapists that we could all over from all over the country.
Great.
And so for our email sessions are $35. So for $35, you can have access to one of the top mental health experts in the country. Very, very experienced psychologists, psychiatrists, and master's level therapists. And they spend about 30 minutes on each email response, or you can purchase an hour session with them.
And how many clients do you have making use of this, say, on a monthly basis?
Oh, we probably have about 150 clients per month.
That's quite amazing. You know, to be honest with you, which I always will be, when I first heard about it, I was a bit judgmental about it. It's like, how could you really replace the face-to-face and the nuances of what you get from a face-to-face? And then the more I thought about it, like I said, the more I realized, you know, my initial start got with peer counseling over the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of crisis intervention is done over a telephone.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
by people who are not necessarily licensed mental health professionals.
Right. But even when I've had to help a client and we've not been, and I've had some clients that you know, are in the film or TV industry, they go on location and we continue doing some sessions because they call in, we set up a time and this is their hour and I don't answer the phone or do anything else. They pay me for it, but we continue the work we're doing and we do it over the phone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know it is very effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ultimately, to me, the ultimate and the best thing is to do face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are reasons why that can't be done, I really support what you're doing with
mm-hmm.
the therapy.
Well, it's certainly different than face-to-face therapy, and it's not. You can't see the person, so you can't get all the visual cues or the auditory cues if it's by email or chat. But what we've found, and research has borne this out, is that people disclose more information by email and in chat because they can't see the therapist. Therapists can't see them. They feel safer. So they disclose faster than they would in a face-to-face session. And that's a surprise. I think something that we as a therapeutic community didn't necessarily expect would happen.
Well, it's kind of like what I said about, you know, if you can't speak to the therapist about what's going wrong with the therapy, you put it in a letter. And
absolutely.
The same thing I often use, you know, and suggest to people, even in a relationship. I had one couple where they, no matter what happened, whenever they were trying to talk to one another, they would end up in an argument.
Mm-hmm.
So I assigned them that they were not to talk about anything other than day-to-day stuff face-to-face, but they should email each other every day, even though they're living in the same house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after 2 weeks of doing that and actually being able to grasp what was in these emails, they were so much more expressive and so much more amazing that the sessions and the face-to-face conversations between them started softening.
Mm-hmm.
And so for 2 weeks I said, no intense conversations about any of the issues. You can only email each other on
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at me like I was crazy,
mm-hmm.
but it worked.
For some people, it's a way to take that first step without going into the therapist's office and to see what this is all about. They purchase one email session and get a response from a therapist, and they're amazed at what therapy is all about and how generally how supportive and encouraging the therapist is, and they don't see them as some sort of three-headed monster or freak or whatever, and it gives them a taste of what therapy is about. Many people from just that first email session will then find a therapist in their community that they do see face-to-face. We have a lot of military people who use our services because they're concerned about the effect on their careers if they go to someone internally.
Right.
We have a lot of people, as you said, who travel or who, because they live in a small community, either don't have the kind of expertise available in their community, or they might be a professional person and they're too well known in their community, they don't feel comfortable seeing anyone. And they choose online therapy. So it's a different option for people. It's not necessarily the answer for everyone, but it's a different way, and it's been helpful to countless numbers of people. We get such positive feedback.
Well, I think it's not just that they no longer see the therapist as a three-headed monster, but they're able to say certain things in their emails or over the phone, and God didn't shoot them down dead with a lightning bolt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In other words, it's that practice session, which now they've gotten some things out, and maybe now they can actually do it verbally with
mm-hmm.
somebody in an office.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for some people a very healthy first step.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
We have maybe about 3 or 4 minutes left. What have I not asked you that you wanted to make sure people knew about find a therapist or e-therapy?
Well, with again, find a therapist. If a therapist wants to list their practice, they can do that. They can go to the website and find instructions. We offer several different ways for them to list, and we have more than, we have about 30 different mental health sites now altogether. So we have, for instance, if you're looking for a sex therapist, we have a specific site that lists just sex therapists. If you're looking for a children's counselor, we have a site that does that. But all of the therapists also are included on our Find a Therapist directory.
We even have blacktherapist.com yes. and anxietydisorders.com and eatingdisorders.com and glbttherapist.com, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender,
mm-hmm.
Sex therapy, family therapist, fordepressiontherapy.com. Again, it's really great that you divide it down like that. And what I noticed by going to each one of them, you describe a little bit about anxiety disorders on that, or, you know, before they start looking for therapists on there. And that's one of the nice things about it.
Well, most of those are fairly new additions, but we found that consumers are getting much more sophisticated, which is great. They're getting educated, they have more information, and so they really do want to find someone who specializes in their issue. They may know I have a panic disorder, and I want someone who really is very experienced and knowledgeable about that. And so we have many therapists who really do specialize in just that area, and for them to promote their services on a site like that is helpful both to the consumer and to the therapist.
Great. The thing to do at this point, actually, is I wanted to kind of sum up here. If people are looking for a therapist, Other than, like I said at the beginning, word of mouth and their list of providers, if it's an HMO or PPO, what we're saying to people today is you have another option here where you can actually get information on the therapist. You can find therapists that deal specifically with your issues. And that place is on the Internet, and it was founded by my guest today, Judy Gifford, and the site is www.findtherapist.com. Findtherapist.com. And
we also have a telephone referral service that's free, Stuart.
Okay, what's that number?
1-866-450 and the word find, or 450-3463, 1-866-450-3463, and we'll help people find a therapist if they want to give us a call.
Wonderful. And again, Judy, I really want to thank you for taking the time on a Saturday to be on the show, and I want to remind people if they want to reach Judy, or they can do that via the website, findatherapist.com, under the contact. They can also reach her via my website for Tell the Truth Faster, which is tellthetruthfaster.com. There will be a hyperlink to her site if you haven't written it down or you don't remember it. And you can even email her or myself with any questions or comments you might have on tellthetruthfaster.com. So, Judy, again, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure, Stuart.
You've been great, actually, too.
Thank you.
And I want to thank all of you that are listening. And next week I am planning on a guest that we're going to be dealing with something that kind of covers some of the grief work that I talked about last week, and it has to do with organ donors and how to make that decision and what are the emotional things attached to that. And my guest will be Elizabeth White, an expert and a great advocate for organ donor programs. So tune in next week, next Saturday for that on Tell the Truth Faster. I want to thank all of you for listening today. And like I said, we're here every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 on KXAM 1310 in Phoenix. If you want to reach me or have any questions or comments, go to tellthetruthfaster.com and you can reach me there. You can also, our archives are now current as of up to last week, so you can go back over the last 2 years and listen to any show that I've done. And you can get in touch with any of those guests via the website also. So again, Stuart Altschuler here. I want to thank you for listening. This is Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM in Phoenix. See you next week. That I heard.